So today I want to share with you a title, Life Under an Open Heaven. An open heaven is indicative of walking in covenant with God. A closed heaven is indicative of a closed heart and a closed hand. Let me say that again. An open heaven is indicative of being in covenant with God. That is what results in an open heaven. You being in covenant with God. A closed heaven comes as a result of a closed heart and a closed hand. Malachi chapter 3, I want to read this to you from the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12 in the New King James Version. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And try," another translation says, "test or prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows or the floodgates of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Hallelujah. The only problem you would have when it comes to the blessing of God that maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it, by the way, is that you will not have room enough to store it, not room enough to contain the blessing that God is wanting to pour out over you and over your family, over your business, as you are in covenant with Him. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fall to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord is on this message today, on this word. So I prophesy that those who are in covenant with God will not only come through this season, but that they will come through on top and be seen thriving in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you receive that word today, right there in the comment section, say, "I receive it." Hashtag, "I receive it," in Jesus' name. Then I want to go to the main scripture reading for today, 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 1. Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says." So in other words, who's speaking? Not man. The Lord is speaking. "By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley of grain will only cost 1 piece of silver." Verse 2, the officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That could not happen even if the Lord himself would open up the windows of heaven." The tenacity for this man to come against the very word of God, delivered through the man of God, the prophet of God, in an hour where the markets have crashed. No different than what we are seeing happening all around the world today. We have the word of God. The word of God is also God's will for mankind. So if we want to know what God's will is for a particular situation, all we have to do is consult the word of God. So if God's word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But Elisha replied, "You will see this happen with your own eyes, but you will not be able to eat any of it." I'm wanting to encourage you. that although we look with the natural eye at that which is on the outside, the external circumstances, we behold the economy, we're not oblivious to it. We have seen what has happened in the markets. We have seen what has happened with the share index. We are looking at all of these things and we are not oblivious to it. We see it. Faith is not denying what it is that is in fact out there. Faith is simply the ability to see with the eyes of God through the circumstances and connect with the heart of God, with the will of God, and to see the manifestation of the blessing of God operating in and through your life, regardless of the external circumstances. That is why the Word of God declares that we walk by faith and not by sight. Whenever it is that we are launching out in faith, we do not consult the bank account. We do not consult the checkbook. We do not consult the markets. We do not consult friends or family. If God has said it, the only response is, yes, I will put my faith into action. At the ground of your word, I will do as you have said. So I want to declare to you today, expect a harvest regardless of the circumstances. An open heaven speaks of divine connection. It speaks of unhindered access to that which is available in the heavenly realm. The Bible declares that God is able to supply all of my need according to His riches in glory. Heaven is not experiencing the pinch of the economy. When the woman with the jar of oil was instructed to gather as many vessels as she could, she began to pour into large containers from a little jar of oil. I want you to pay close attention to what happened with this woman, because she kept on pouring until she ran out of vessels. Therefore, the earth ran out of vessels. Heaven did not run out of oil. There is a supernatural, unlimited or limitless supply that is available to God's children from heaven, and it is only available to those who are in covenant with God. In other words, it could seem like amidst all of the desert, when people look at you, they will refer to you as an oasis. Receive that word right now. I want you to write there in the comments to say, hashtag, I am an oasis. My life speaks of that of an oasis in the desert. Although I'm surrounded by desert, I am at a place where there is streams of living water, where the grass is green, green pastures. And there are trees that are planted by these streams of living water, whose leaves do not wither, whose fruit do not fall in the wrong season. For indeed, they bear fruit in every season. That is what a life under an open heaven looks like. That is the manifestation of God's covenant promise upon you, upon your family, and yes, even your business. In the name of Jesus. We do not look to the wind. We do not look to the clouds. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. For the Word of God says that He is the author and He is the perfecter of our faith. We also need to keep our confessions in check. Many people, unfortunately, listen to a broadcast such as this, where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. People make all kinds of confessions on a Sunday, only to begin to dismantle them the Monday. But I'm declaring unto you, that there is the remnant of God that is arising in this hour. They are those who do not draw back into perdition. They are those who say, I have a faith on the inside. I have the measure of faith, and I'm not afraid to put my faith into action. If that is you, and you are the remnant of God, right there in the comment section on Facebook, write down hashtag, I am the remnant. Verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, hey, we would have not lost anything. They could have given up. These men could have given up. They were between a rock and a hard place, one could say. Yet there was that inherent will to survive. They said to one another, if I can paraphrase, we will live and we will not die. I declare unto you that as sure as God is alive, you will live, you will not die, and you will declare the goodness of God. Again, I say unto you, you will not only come through this season, you will not only just survive, for you will come through this season thriving, being prosperous, enjoying abundance from heaven in the name of Jesus. If that is you, I want you to right there where you are again in the comment section say, I receive it. I appropriate it. It is my word. I'm standing on the word of God, which does always produce. For the word of God is the truth. It is yes and amen. Verse 5. So at twilight they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. Neither the lepers nor the Israelites had to fight on that day, for God did it all. Isaiah 59:19 says, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. I declare unto you that in this season, God will confuse the enemy. God will confuse every plan of theirs, and it will fail. For no weapon formed against you in this season or after will prosper in the name of Jesus. Come on, right there where you are again. I need some people to say, I receive it. I appropriate it. I snatch it. It is mine. No weapon formed against me or my family or my business or my health or my finances will prosper in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after the other, eating and drinking. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. Finally, they said to each other, hey, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. You see, the principle is that the gospel is good news. That's why we boldly declare that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And it's not good for us to keep this to ourselves. Especially when the world is confused. Especially when there's chaos. chaos, devastation, and destruction all around us. I'm needing some bold men and women, even some children, to say, I will rise up. I will tell the world who Jesus is. I will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. For my generation will know the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Proverbs 13, 21 and 22, it says this, that the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Trouble chases sinners, but the blessing of God chases the righteous. God doesn't want to just meet your need. Why? For He is El Shaddai. That means He is the God of more than enough. Why be satisfied with the crumbs that are falling from the table when you can go and plunder the camp of the enemy? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And what if all of this is just the opportunity that the body of Christ has been waiting for, to go and take the wealth that has been laid up for the righteous? This is the moment. This is the moment. I see even businesses where there has been a lot of competition within your industry. I see some businessmen watching me right now. Hear the voice of the Lord as He says that following this lockdown and it will be lifted, your business will come out on top. For when previously you had to jump, shout, scream to get attention, but now you will dominate that space. You will dominate that industry. For there will not be those who will be left standing that have not been walking in covenant. But because you understood covenant and walked in covenant, God is going to rise you up, raise you up. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it now. Verse 10. So they went back to the city and they told the gatekeepers what had happened. We went out to the Aramean camp, they said, and no one was there. The horses and donkeys were tethered and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeeper shouted the news to the people in the palace. Verse 12, the king got out of bed in the middle of the night, and what he did is that he got the scouts to go and investigate. Then they came back and they reported. And then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour was sold that day for one piece of silver. And 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. In other words, what happened? They experienced a 24-hour, or can we therefore say, a suddenly turnaround miracle. That's what happened. What was inconceivable 24 hours ago is now their reality. So I declare unto you that as God's covenant people, you will have many suddenly moments, so that even within 24 hours, that which is thought to be inconceivable, even impossible, will be your reality in the name of Jesus. Right there in the comment section, I need you to comment and say, hashtag, I receive His reality. I see in the spiritual realm. And I snatch, I appropriate, I take by force what is already laid up for me. In Jesus' name. Here's the end. Verse 17. The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate. But he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out. This week I had a vision. And I saw that following this season, after this lockdown, declares the Lord, there will be a powerful move of God that no man will be able to control, that no man will be able to put their hands on, for we will see God doing it all. Man will play a role, but the Spirit will lead. I also saw the church being mobilized, equipped, raised up to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And as a result, I saw them storming the gates of hell with a newfound boldness. I saw altars filled with souls, representing every tongue, every tribe, and every nation as they came into the kingdom of God. I saw people rushing, pushing to come to the altar without even being told what to do, because it was the Spirit of God calling them into the kingdom. Man of God, woman of God, ministry leaders all around the world, hear the voice of the Lord as He declares that following this lockdown and this quarantine, people will flood into every house of worship where the true unadulterated Word of God is preached. For where the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, there is freedom. And people will enter into covenant. And as a result, they will speak. They will testify to the manifestation of the blessing of God as they live under an open heaven. But you're watching right now, and you're saying, you know what, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. This is your moment to make that decision. For you cannot access the blessing of God without first entering into covenant with Him. And that's what we're going to do just now. That's what we're going to do. So if you've never given your life to Jesus ever before, you've never given your life to Him, you've never surrendered your life, you've never bowed your knee, you've never declared with your heart and with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, this is a moment for you. Maybe it is that you did pray that prayer once, but you know what? You're not where you're supposed to be. You're ice cold. This is the time to come back into His kingdom. Maybe it is that the devil is lying to you. He is the father of the lie, after all, telling you that you are not good enough to enter the kingdom. You're never good enough. Ever will you be used of God. There's all of these lies. Today, you can silence the voice of the enemy as you pray this prayer with me. I'm needing some people who say, today is the day that I put my faith, my hope, my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's you, pray this prayer along with me. Say this. Dear Lord Jesus, today I confess that I've sinned against You. I repent of all of my sin and ask that You will forgive me. Right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Touch me. Change me. Let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.